Oh, pray with me this morning. How sweet it is. How many of y'all say how sweet it is that we get to serve God Almighty? Amen. Let it flow to Him. And, man, I love all Sundays, but I really like this Sunday. I call it the Commodore Sunday. You know, it's got the full brass and kind of got that groove to it and kind of a flow. And so I hope that out of worship this week, okay, out of worship this week, you see, we don't worship just to engage God. We worship so God engages us. You know, as we give Him glory, then we can become His expressed glory. Now, I want you to get this. We've been on this for 3 or 4 weeks, and we have to go back over it because sometimes we tend to forget during the week. What do you think? We forget during the week. How many of you all, it is easier to let it flow on Sunday morning than it is on Monday afternoon? Or Thursday at 10 o'clock? Or Wednesday at 2 o'clock? Or how about Friday morning on Scottsville Road? Where is God? See, it's in the everyday situations of life. We really become the example of the glory of God, the mystery made known. And so I want to pray that today we would really focus and hear the Word of God in such a way that we might understand more fully that we are the mystery of God being made what? Known. And so we've had these large church words that we have tossed around throughout the generations. You know, I mean, I can do real preacher stuff. The manifest glory of God. Well, that sounds impressive, doesn't it? But truly, those who gather to worship, those who gather to praise His name, those who gather to understand the cross and the resurrection and the power of that in your daily lives, you are the manifest glory of God. You know, what Jesus loves more than anything else on the earth are those that He's forgiven and He's resurrected and He's positioned in heaven. Did you realize that? And so you have been forgiven. You have been resurrected. You're not what you used to be. And your position is where? Heaven. So I don't want you to forget those three things. Let's pray together. Lord, as we live together, as we journey this life together, as we see the times that are exciting and as we experience the times of great disappointment, You are still the manifest glory. God, I want to thank You today that even when it doesn't go our way, Your way will be dominant. Lord, I am so thankful that there is no authority, no power, nor principality that is greater than the message of Jesus. So may our lives, Lord Jesus, be so consumed by You that the world must know there is a God. Amen? Now that's my prayer for us, that our lives might be so consumed with Christ that the world would know there is a what? There is a God. Now, as you look today, there's just a lot of people that don't want to deal with God. Have you noticed that? And we've kind of gotten in this kind of approach. We will fix it. How many of y'all have ever said, well, I'm going to fix that? Or if you're down south, we say, I'm fixing to straighten that up real quick. Any of y'all ever use that line? If you've raised kids, you probably have. I'm going to straighten that situation. I'm going to get this. This is going to reshape. How many of you found that we don't fix it as well as God can change it? We don't fix it as well as God can change it. So I want to give you the power that we have today out of this text in Ephesians 3, 1 through 11. The greatest strength that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has is because Jesus has died, made a way, because Jesus is resurrected, claim the position, you and I have access to communicate with the Almighty God. Prayer will guide our way. Now write that down. Prayer will guide our way. The more I hear from God, the greater I can live out what God has made me to be. Now watch this. You don't need the strength to become because you've already became. You became a new creature the moment that Jesus came in your life. You need to pray for the strength to live out who you are. How many of y'all glad to know you're in Christ and nobody can take that away? Now, where does the challenge come? The challenge comes when the pressures of the world press against the reality of heaven. True? How many of y'all get any pressure? Anybody here had any pressure? If you're in leadership, you pray, Lord, have mercy. If you're a school teacher, what do you have every day? You have, most of us teach, if you're teaching in a school, you have 30 units of pressure that you're staring at constantly. And what are they doing? I mean, think about the educational process. The teacher's trying to teach them things that will what? Benefit their lives in the long run. But you know, they're 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, or they have arrived at the great age of 18 and all knowledge has been given unto them. And a teacher is trying to do what? Express wisdom and knowledge so that their future might be what? Better. And what do? Sometimes, even when we're in front of the possibility of our future being better, what do? Sometimes as human beings. Come on, give me some of the options. What do when we hear good things? Okay, sometimes we just ignore it, don't we? We just, I'm not even going to listen to that. What are some other reactions we have when God wants to show us important things, good things, everlasting things? How do we react?
Run the other way.
We run the other way. God says, I need you to walk over here to the right. And where do we go? I mean, we turn left. No political stuff involved in that at all. Okay, let me. Or God says, walk backwards, and we decide to what? Forwards. Have y'all seen any incidents of that in the Bible? Yeah. Now, who's writing this is the Apostle Paul. And he said, I've become convinced of my message. If you'd like to join the pastoral staff in prayer, there's one prayer I have for our church constantly, that we might join God in His message.
Amen.
That we might join God in His message. I simply think the church in the United States of America is derailed because it refuses to join God in its message. And the message of God is there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, and there is one church. And Jesus Christ is Lord of them all. Is that not the scripture? We're going to hit that here in a few weeks. And what do we say? In American culture, we say, no. There are many ways, there are many gods, and there are many approaches, and you just be a good person, and you'll know life. I say, no, being a good person, you'll know some good days, but you'll never know eternal days. You'll know some good people, but you'll never know God's purpose. You'll be accepted by some, but you'll never be accepted by the eternal reality, Jesus, the Lord of all things. Now, Paul knew this. Paul traded in what he was for who he could be. Paul was the ultimate Jew. He graduated from the top Jewish teachers. He had the right family name. Remember when he says over there in Philippians, he goes, well, now, if we want to talk credentials, I am from the tribe of Benjamin. Now, as it goes in most families, I have found this, the older child, usually the better child, is held more responsible than the younger child. Have you all found that out? You know, the oldest child of a family is the experimental child. Really, because, you know, if it's your first one, you don't know what to do with them. You don't know what they're going to do. And I came from a family of four. And by the time we got to the fourth one, she's totally spoiled and got exemptions that the rest of us never got. Plow the way. But you know what God does? He brings us all to the same place. Paul said, listen, you want to talk credentials? I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. Who was Benjamin? The youngest. Yeah. Benjamin was the baby of the 12. So what do you already know? And then the one that was favored, remember Joseph?
Yep.
They knocked him off and sent him to slavery. So who do you think was favored after that?
Benjamin.
Paul said, I could claim my favor here on earth. Now check this out. How many of you all spend a lot of energy trying to find favor? Just let your mind go through a week. How many of y'all spend a lot of energy finding favor? And here's what's so sad. Here's what's so disappointing. In Christ Jesus, because of the mystery of the cross and the resurrection, you are already favored. Yeah, how many of y'all believe that to be true? Okay, five of you. Good, great. Do we have six and we'll be halfway to the disciples, okay? If you really believe you're already favored, then your life doesn't consist of winning favor. Now it consists of expressing the favor of God. See how that works? Now, Paul knew his mission. He goes ahead and states in the first part of those verses 1-6. And I'm just going to go over this real quick. Once again, he says, God has brought the two together. The Jews were chosen, the nation of Israel, Abraham, Moses, the prophets, the covenant of God, the Ten Commandments, the ways of God come together in Jesus Christ. I've brought the two into one. We covered that last week. And then Paul says, now I'm going to emphasize God's message in me. So there's two things today. I hope you will evaluate and decide, you know what? How much of my life emphasizes God's message in me? So there's two things. What would happen to our church? Dream with me for just a moment. What would happen to our church if we emphasize God's message and amplified God's message? Emphasized and what? Amplified. I remember when I was a kid, back when I was a teenager, you really couldn't claim your car to be a good car unless it had a good stereo. How many of y'all remember those days when you went to the car lot and you didn't bang the tires, you didn't ask about the transmission, you didn't check to see if it had oil in it, you didn't ask about the gas mileage, but the first thing you did is when you sat in the car, you turned the radio on to see what kind of sound it had. Well, I drove an older car back then, so I had to redo the whole stereo. That Delco AM stereo with one speaker up on the front panel wasn't going to cut it. So unbeknownst to my dad, we were in the garage. We used to go in the garage and redo the car, and we just told him we were tuning it up, Jack. Tune up, Pops. It's a tune up. And you know, we had the 6x9 speakers on, and I remember we got the radio installed, and I turned it on, and it just wasn't enough. You know what I mean? It just wasn't enough. How many of y'all have ever, you thought it was going to be great, but it just wasn't enough? I hope that's not your marriage, but you know, I mean, you arrived at this moment, and it just wasn't enough. So I went where all electronic gurus went back in the early 80s, like 79, 80. You headed to the great system of sound, Radio Shack. And guess what I bought? I bought a 100-watt amplifier because I needed to amplify what was already being sent. Now, once I put that amplifier in, it's a 100-watt amplifier, and it was cool, too, because you turn the lights down, had lights all across of it, and they would blink to the beat of the music, you know. And I used to go around Getty's over here. I was one of those kids, you know, and we'd come around where Getty's Pizza is, and we would come right over. There was a speed bump. Now, Mark, I know you never did things like this in your 280ZX with louvers on the back of it. But I had a 67 Chevelle, and there was a speed bump. It's still there over Getty's. It may have smoothed it out, but now it's a speed bump. And if you were real cool, and now I had a real car, okay? I mean, when I pulled up slow, I mean, mine was going blah, 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 blah. And see, girls liked that back then. I mean, you'd see girls, they had, back then, they wore their jeans up to here, chic jeans, remember? They were up to here. Had those chic jeans on and that mall hair, double wing, baby. And they'd be standing up there by Getty's, you know, and then you'd drive, blip, 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 and you get right up over that speed bump. Now, Chase, watch this. You get right up over the speed bump. Y'all never got to do this because you can't do this in a Honda. And we had a bump shifter in a lot of those cars, those of us who tended to race a little bit, so we could bump the gears. And we'd let that thing just kind of ease down. And then you'd punch it, and it'd go, and kind of hop like it. And you'd see those girls with the mall hair and those chic jeans. I know why some of y'all are laughing. You were those girls. And y'all would turn your head like this, and you could, and it was like a deer or a caribou. The hair didn't flow. It just, everything turned together when they looked at you like that. Chuck, don't you be laughing. You may have had your hair like that back then. You know what I mean? But I remember when I got that amplifier, guess what? The first thing I wanted to do was to go to that parking lot. And you know why I wanted to go to that parking lot? I wanted everybody to hear how I sounded. Can you imagine the church being so committed to the amplification of God's mystery in the world that every morning we woke up and were committed that the world might hear how heaven sounds? And God, make me a part of the amplification of your glory. Can you imagine what the world would have to confront every day if every believer woke up and said, Lord, this is the day you have made. May I be a part of your manifest glory. May I show the world who you are in something that I'm about today. Church, I want to challenge us to be a part of that because I want to show you how committed Paul was. He told these brothers, he said, listen, don't worry about my prison. Don't worry about my prison. Don't worry about where they put me, because where they've put me can't hold me. Where they've put me cannot hold me, Nathan. You see, Paul knew this because he'd done been shook out of a prison before, okay? He'd done been shook loose. Paul said, they put me in prison, but that's no deal, big deal, because the chains of my prison are worth you knowing God's glory. Now, I want to ask you a very important question. How far will you go that the world might know Jesus? Freddie, I know that you'll go all the way. What is that, South Butler County where you are? From South Butler County. What's it? All the way to Costa Rica. On a prayer. Now, Freddie, when you landed in Costa Rica, you and Jim Bottas, I mean, it's the funniest thing I ever seen in my life. God sent a hippie and Freddie to go speck out Costa Rica. Now, in my wildest days, I mean, if I had sat at my desk and somebody had come to me, Mark, and said, what are Freddie and Jim Broadus doing? I said, well, they're specking out the location and a church that will manifest there in Costa Rica. Those were not my prayers. My prayers were, God, please do not let them get killed. Lord, may they get back home safely. But God made a connection that 15 years later has led to a church that has seen over 200 people baptized in the last 22 months. I'm willing to go where God sends me. That's what Paul's trying to tell us today. He said, brothers, don't worry about it. It's my suffering is worth God's glory. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the workings of what? His power. He said, although I am the least of the apostles, a least of God's people, I'm not the greatest. I'm just one of them. Now, let me show you something. Don't worry about being the greatest. Just worry about being one of them. Just be one of them. Man, if you're just one person manifesting the glory of God, you're making an eternal difference. Hey, how many of y'all needed to hear that today? I'm not asking you to be Billy Graham because that's Billy Graham. I'm not asking you to be a superstar, just a follower of Jesus. What the world needs today is we really don't need any more Christian celebrities in America. The world's kind of tired of all the Christian celebrity jazz. We don't need any more preachers selling books. We need preachers living out the manifest glory of God. We don't need any more paraphernalia. I don't know how many bracelets we need to remind us of what Jesus would do. Why don't we try a new radical movement? Do it. Do it. Become it. Wouldn't it be great if the world could know we follow Jesus without wearing a t-shirt? Wouldn't it be great if we were more into the manifest power of the gospel of Jesus Christ than arguing over trite theological positions? Wouldn't it be amazing if every one of us was labeled by the cross and the resurrection and not by some particular uniqueness we wanted to be recognized by? I want to be a follower of Christ. Paul didn't care about being a Pharisee. He didn't care about being a scholar. He didn't care about being rich. He said, I have been affected by the grace of God, which I preach to who? You Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, church, here's what I want you to know. Really, every day we're on a journey to discover the unsearchable riches of what? Christ. And why were they unsearchable? Well, there was a period of time you didn't know the riches of Christ because Christ was yet to be revealed. But how many of y'all are glad to know we live on the other side of the cross? We live on the resurrected side of the cross. So here's what happens in our lives. The riches of God not only are known, we can participate in them. Don't want you to think about this week. Am I participating in the riches of what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as a poor believer. It's impossible. Because who dwells in you? Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ dwells in you, now watch, what dwells in you? Heaven. The riches of Christ. Just look at your neighbor for a minute and go, the riches of Christ are in there. Go ahead, come on, participate. The riches of Christ are in there. So let me make this practical. How can you have a boring marriage when you're married to the riches of Christ? Tina, did you realize you married the riches of Christ? And he is so excited he kissed you 14 times before we even got to the vows. What was that? The riches of Christ. That's why Mark Hale, Pastor Mark, uses this line. I cannot believe I get to live this life. Mark, I believe Paul would have said something very much like that. I cannot believe I get to preach this gospel. It is amazing. So I'm going to challenge you to bring back the amazing gospel and manifest it into the world. Make it known. Look what else it tells us in Ephesians. Make it known. You ready? I want you to look very carefully. Whose job is this? Whose purpose is this? Here's Paul's. Here's his plan. Verse 9. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all what? God created all things. Man did not create these things. Who created them? Now watch. This is the purpose of the church. Make known the gospel, the mystery. We all have the same purpose. To make Jesus what? Known to the world. Now I'm going to give you a challenge. If you take this message seriously today, won't be an empty seat in this room. Now listen, I'm not fussing at anybody because let me tell you what the devil does. The devil will tell you to go to church. He just doesn't want you to bring anybody with you. I mean, really think about it. He's at a lost odd. Once the gospel comes in your life, can the devil get you? I want to hear that with more certainty. That's a little wishy-washy there to me. Once Jesus Christ comes in your life, you're marked by the power of the cross and the resurrection, can the devil take you to hell? No! Now here's all the devil can do. Annoy you. How many of y'all have ever had the devil annoy you? Here's the way I view the demonic to the believer. Now listen, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only can the devil annoy you, he will own you. And you go, well, I don't worship the devil. Yeah, you do. You got two places you can be in. You can be in heaven with Christ, or you can be in hell with the devil and his angels. There's not a middle ground. You either are or you're what? You are not. I remember when I was growing up, ladies would say this sometimes. You can't be this, though. It's a misnomer. Well, I'm a little bit pregnant. Well, hold on, and you're going to be a lot. There's no way to be a what? Little bit pregnant. You're either what? You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You're either going to bring in a new life or you're what? Not going to bring in a new life. It's going to happen. It's going to what? Manifest. Now you understand the power of the gospel. What did Paul say? This is what I'm giving my life to. This is what it's about. That the church, I want you to see whose purpose this is. This mystery has been released. Verse 10, his intent was that now through the church, note that, through the what? Not through any other organization, but through the what? Who is the church? It's those who gather, who have been changed by the cross and resurrection, and they gather in the name of Jesus Christ. It is the body of Christ. Amen. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of what? God. Now, church, we're in a moment of history. We have to make some decisions. We're either going to step back and hide from what's going on in the world, or we're going to be like the Apostle Paul, and we're going to step in and make known the manifest glory of what? God. Now, let's look at this real careful. Our task is not to be known, but that Jesus might be what? Known. Not that we might be known, but that who might be known? Jesus. Can you all get that rhythm? May Jesus be known through my life. Not may they remember my name. But I'm telling you, that's a lot of temptation, isn't it? Because most of the time, whose name we want to put on it? Mm-hmm. See, we want to do this. Jesus Christ, sponsored by Steve Ayers. See, we get that backwards. No, it's Steve Ayers, redeemed by Jesus Christ. Watch this. This is the point Paul came to. There is no Paul without Jesus. There is no Hillview without Jesus. I can say that. How many of y'all are glad to say that? I mean, God's brought us this far along, folks. You all know that this place has been part of God's hidden mystery. I just laugh at Hillview. Every so often I go back and I read through our history, and here's what I hear. But God. But God said different. Oh, what a joyful moment. But God said different. Sin said, I have you, but Jesus said, I've released you. Hell said, I'm waiting for you, but Jesus canceled our reservations and brought us to that heavenly realm. But for God, everything changes. Church, this is our job to manifold. Look, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in what? Christ Jesus our Lord. We have a responsibility to make Jesus known to the world. And I'm going to tell you about it every Sunday. And my colleagues are going to call me shallow. They're going to call me an evangelist only. They're going to tell me that I'm not deeply discipling the world. But I want to tell you what, with all due respect to my colleagues, they're wrong as rain. When I look at the ministry of Apostle Paul, he didn't spend his time slobbering on those who were already well. He said, I'll go in chains that the Gentiles may know that there is a God who loves them, who saved them, and who will take them to heaven. And you know what? I'm praying. Now, this is going to get crazy. I hope our church gets more like that. I hope our church gets more like that. I hope as my body slows down, my spirit will speed up. I really do. I hope my body gets tired keeping up with my spirit. Amen? How many of y'all want to live like that? I hope my body gets tired keeping up with my spirit. If the Lord grants me old age, I hope that when people get around me, I can look at them and say, listen, if I could get over there, you would know the great thing that's wanting to jump out of my life. But if you'll hold on 30 minutes, I'll be over there to let it jump. I want my spirit to be louder than my words. I want the Spirit of Christ to be loud in our lives. Amen. Amen. And I think we've made the Spirit of God way too silent in this world. I want the message and mystery of Jesus to be louder than Fox News. That's loud. I want it louder than our politics, than our educational theories, than our hypotheses, and than our stabs of what life may be. Do you believe the manifest reality of Jesus in your life? Paul did, and he said, God has commissioned, put in motion the church to do what? To proclaim these eternal purposes. Now, I want to end there today. Sorry, Kathy. Eternal purposes. Look what he says. Because I got to end here because I want you to see what we're up against. According to his eternal purposes, which he accomplished in Christ, Jesus our Lord, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and what? What are we all looking for? Come on, if you boil it all down in all the theories, all the philosophies, all the different ways we try to find hope in our lives, what are we looking for? Confidence. And what? Freedom. Confidence is a multi-million dollar market. Y'all ever been to Barnes & Noble or Borders Bookstore? There's an aisle of what kind of books? Self-help. 10 ways to be impressive. 3 ways to improve your ACT score. 4 ways to get a wife and keep her. We all got these ways. True? I mean, look at the books. Ways. It amazes me. I look at the titles. Ways. The church even adapted such a non-gospel approach. 5 ways to significantly improve your church. No, there's only one way to significantly improve your church. First of all, you got to come to the truth that sets you free. It's not your church. It's not your what? Church. I do this in pastors' conferences all the time. They'll ask me, they say, well, what happened in your church? I said, I quit pastoring. March the 10th, 1991, God put me in impossible odds, and I quit pastoring. They go, what do you mean? I said, I let him. You see, in 1991, if you'd have talked to me before March the 10th in 1991, I could tell you everything the church needed to do to straighten up. Y'all ever met anybody like that? I mean, you need to understand, I was a whopping 25 years old, and I had a seminary degree. Do y'all not understand? I had a seminary degree. The odds of me going to college were mandatory. We didn't have an option in our family. But the possibility of me going to grad school was never thought of. But I had graduated from the what? Seminary. I had even been taught in January by an Oxford professor that sounded like having class with the Equalizer for 4 weeks. I was pretty impressed with that. One of my professors was from Oxford. You know what that means? I had a professor that was from Oxford who talked really unique. You know when I started seeing the church? Is when the manifest glory of heaven began to become known on earth. It's not that I've been taught by a guy from Oxford. It's that I've been saved by a guy from heaven. I think we forget the message. So my challenge is, I'm challenging you to think and to embrace. Is heaven more impressive than what you find here on earth? Is heaven more impressive than what you find here on earth? Now, I'm talking to my wonderful 8 o'clock crowd here, beautiful crowd here today. Would you say that we're just a little more seasoned than the other crowds? I mean, we gather a little more seasoned folk in here, all right? We're not going to get old at Hillview, so if you want to get old, you go to another church. We are going to season well. True? Now, we ought to have a little more wisdom than some folk that are 20 years behind us. Wouldn't you agree? There ought to be a little more wisdom to us. Like, I love listening to Jim Britt, because why? Jim has been a part of some of the history I read. And so, Rabbi, it's good to have you back. And it's good to see you. And I praise our loving Lord that He has left you here as an anchor and a testimony that God will not yield to this world. He will not yield. He won't do it. Now, for some of you younger folks, guess what? Y'all are smarter than the rest of your generation. If you want to get to where you're going, then get with somebody that's already there. Now, does that slogan make sense? If you want to get to where you're going, get with somebody who's what? Already been there. I don't know about you, but I'd like to get to heaven. So I'm going to get with somebody that's already there. You and I have a purpose, whether you like it or not, is to make known the glory of God to the world. Paul was so willing to make it known that the chains that went on his hands were a temporary situation compared to the power of the gospel that was in his heart. I pray every day, God, help me hold up when they come to get me. Help me hold up when they come to get me. There'll be a moment your pastor will be very challenged in this world because y'all think I'm going to close my mouth. No. I'm not. I mean, I'm going to tell you Jesus Christ is Lord, and they're going to ask me, do you believe there's another way to heaven? And I'm going to say, absolutely not. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to say, you're a bigot and you're not being sensitive to everybody else. And I'm going to say, no, I'm not a bigot. I'm a very loving man because I want everybody to go to heaven. And so if I know the way, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you there's another way when there's not another way. There's not another way. Some of you go, well, what if you get up to heaven and there's Muslims? I'm going to say, all right. But I'm just telling you what I know. I'm telling you from the one that knows me. He says there is one way and it's Him. There is one message and it's His. There is one heaven and He lives in it. And Jesus is Lord of all things. Paul said, I'm going to give it to the Gentiles. I'm going to let you know everybody's invited. And I'm not going to back off because I'm going to make known this mystery. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with what? Freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your what? Glory. So, church, I'm going to stop there today. Y'all been great. Did y'all get anything out of this? Just look at your neighbor and say, you know what? I got to let this out. Go ahead and tell them, I got to let this out. Clayson, you got to let this out. I got to let this out. I got to let this out. So at the altar today, you know what I'm going to pray? That we would let the message of the gospel out of us. Now, if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what? We've just had a great day today for one reason. That you might be saved. That Jesus Christ might be in your life. And so I hope today you would open up to the manifest glory that would like to live inside of you. That you would say this. How many of y'all realize you've sinned? How many of y'all that far along? I mean, you know that you, I mean, you look at the Ten Commandments, and instead of saying, my God, you go, oh no, oh no, oh no. I failed the Ten Commandments. I'm sorry you have a pastor that failed the Ten Commandments. How many of y'all failed the Ten Commandments? Yeah. And those of you that don't have your hand up, you have really failed the Ten Commandments. Because guess what you're doing? You're denying, watch this. People that think they're better than God will always find hell. Write that down, Elizabeth. That's pretty good. I never said that before. People that think they're God will always find what? hell. If I think I'm God, I'm going to create hell because I'm not capable of creating heaven. But if I receive Jesus Christ into my life and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have failed you. I am sorry for this breach. I'm sorry for this lifestyle. I am sorry for my sin. Lord Jesus, I repent. I ask you to forgive me and come into my life. What's that Holy Spirit going to do? Timmy Young, when you asked the Holy Spirit to come in your life, what did that Holy Spirit do? Did that Holy Spirit care that you'd grown up Church of Christ? Not a bit. Did that Holy Spirit care that you had married Susie? It cared that you knew the grace of God. And it'll never let go. This is true. So I hope you pray every day that somebody meet Jesus this week. And I pray that we always hold this attitude. Jesus, I never want to figure the church out. Because if I can understand it, then it's not your glory. So Lord, may I be a part of the mystery and may I express the mystery and may others know the mystery of Jesus because I live in you. Amen. The purpose of the church. Let's stand together. Pray with me. I want you all to pray for the lost. I want you to pray for people that are unemployed. How many of y'all been praying that people get jobs? Let's pray that people get jobs. You're going, Pastor Steve, don't the politicians need to do that? Well, if you leave it up to them, it'd be a long time before you go to work. Lord, what? People need jobs. Now, guess where those jobs are? In you. In you. How many of y'all would be willing to allow God to make you a solution to some of the problem? Send me instead of show somebody else. If you haven't been baptized today, we invite you to come talk about that. If you need prayers of healing, come and be prayed over. Let God have His way. Lord, as people are drawn to this altar by the gift of your Spirit, I pray right now that not a soul leave here without being known by you. May your glory, your grace, your forgiveness, your healing enter into their lives right now. If I'm talking to you, the Spirit of God's talking to you. Tell Him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died. I believe you've risen. And Lord Jesus, come into my life. If you need to say that prayer to God, say it to Him. Don't leave this place disconnected from heaven. Don't leave this place away from God. Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Make me new. He'll do it. He'll do it. You let Him have it. He'll do it. He'll do it. Let's come and pray for employment. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for life. Let's pray for the everyday lives of our own life that the manifest glory of God might be what? Made known. May God be known through your life. Come on, don't step back today. Let God have it today. Lord Jesus, we just ask right now that you just take over this altar, this service, this moment. That we don't step aside, but we step into your grace today, Lord. Amen. 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 Amen.